Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Monday, August the 3rd of 2020. And I'm so grateful that you've chosen to join the program tonight. And I want to thank you for joining wherever you are, however you're joining the program, whatever it is that you're doing right now, wherever, however, we're just so glad that you could join us tonight. My belief is that you can receive everything that God has for you tonight. That's always the goal. And I do want to give a shout out to a great friend, Natalia, from Honduras, listening in, who's in the States at the moment. So big shout out to Natalia. You're awesome. And I just want you to know that. One of these days, I should have Natalia come on this program and maybe talk to you listeners about what she does. As she originally lived in the United States. Now she lives in Honduras. And she helps a school, you know, in Honduras and ministers to these kids. And the way that she's able to do that. This way you can hear a perspective of someone who is actually out in the field in another land other than where they're originally from, here in the States. And so I was just thinking about that. Tonight I'm going to be dealing with the Great Commission and Mark 16. And so that's what the Word of the Lord, my lesson from the Word of the Lord is going to be about, is about the Great Commission. And Jesus told us that we are to go into all the world and preach. That's all I'm going to say about it right now at this moment, because if I say it all now, then what am I going to say it later in the program? It's just that we'll be going to Mark 16 tonight, and I'll be talking to you about what all that entails. But like I said, it's so glad to have all of you listening tonight. Of course, first, a lot of times before we get into the meat of what I like to call the meat of the night, where when I say the meat, I mean like the real main stuff that we do, you know, and we open the Bible. Before we do that, a lot of times I like to talk about either what I'm up to or just, well, you know, some things that are on my spirit or take some time to, I like to call it Miracle Man's commentary. I've decided that I think that's a good name for it, for my commentary. So that could be things in my local area, maybe things that, maybe what I've been up to, maybe update you on some things like I've done before with the virus and that, some things that the media will not tell you. And I just like to start, you know, with commentary. And that tonight, it involves a couple of developments in the local Midland, you know, this local Central Michigan region that involves a couple different restaurant concepts going in to a couple of the local malls in the coming months. Now, one of these I just found out about today. The one that I found out about today, Alex's Railside, the popular restaurant, diner type restaurant that was formerly on Saginaw Road, just west of M30. They're actually going to be moving into the old Ruby Tuesday location at Midland Mall. I just found that out today, going by it. Thought for sure it was closed, which it still is, but we saw a couple people in there. We saw one go in. I couldn't figure out what they were doing. Go down to the food court, tell one of the workers I know that work at one of the places, and he tells me the scoop that Railside was reportedly going in there, expected to open in at some point in the month of October. My comment on this, this is the first diner type place other than like a Coney Island that I've seen have seating a dine-in sit-down restaurant in the mall, excluding like food courts and the like. This is the first type place I've seen. Also, it's the first one that I've seen to have all-day breakfast. I've never heard any of the other mall restaurants that I've heard of that are still in operation have all-day breakfast. Now, I know there were big boys in that in the 80s, 90s, and some of them, but they all shut down before I even got to them. You say, what do you think about it? Well, this. On one end, I think it's good that Railside's getting a new place. I think it could be a positive when it comes to business. But on the other end, they might be a whole lot of new customers and maybe not as many of the ones that used to go there. I didn't want to say old, like old people. I meant like former, like ones that maybe lived super close by. But now, don't be going there because the restaurant is moving, like I said, to Midland, to the mall. Side note, another Sanford restaurant that was just a few more blocks to the west. They are moving to a former Midland restaurant also, but this one's moving a little bit closer to the Village of Sanford. And so, but like I said, I think this could be a big win for them. I'm actually, when I first heard what was going in there, I was shocked, but at the same time excited, but not shocked in the negative connotation by any means. No. But like I said, I think this could be a really good thing. The other thing, this other restaurant thing I have is there's this place in Saginaw. It's called Circus Time Snacks. I actually meant to go to Circus Time Snacks 2 years ago when they were at a different location inside the city. I was in the city. I had something I had to do over there. This was like 2 years ago. And so I decided to find where Circus Time Snacks is, find it. Turns out it's just after the 1st of November. But they weren't opened. And now they are reopening in a different location. What is Circus Time Snacks? What it is it's a restaurant that specializes in fair foods like corn dogs. Corn dogs. They're supposed to have this chicken and waffle cone. I don't know what that's supposed to mean. Megan, what do you imagine a chicken and waffle cone is? Yes, what do you imagine that entails?
Like waffle, chicken and waffle,
kind of? Yeah, in a waffle cone. Is that how you imagine it being?
Yeah.
With maybe some syrup on it, or maybe not. But needless to say, but like I was saying, those kinds of things, like I said, you know, nachos, burgers, fries, malt and vinegar fries too, by the way, which is always a fair favorite, nachos, funnel cakes. As you can see, a lot of your fair food favorites. But they're relocating into the mall, the Fashion Square Mall, in the food court. They were supposed to happen open yesterday, but unfortunately, the unforeseen inspection in which they had to be, they'll be opening on the 9th. But I'm pretty excited about that one, about the Circus Time Snacks. The reason they left their old location, I actually liked their page on social media a couple nights ago and kept scrolling. Back to earlier stuff. Turns out the reason they closed their previous location was not due to lack of business. It was actually this. It wasn't big enough to meet their needs.
which to me means there was probably growing far too fast. Is that what you're thinking? And that could be why they're just now restarting? Could that be it, maybe? Because they had to spend time, you know, looking for a new place. And then they decided on this location. And like I said, a lot of fair food. And I've never heard of a place before where you can get a elephant ear in a mall. Unless it's at an amusement park, mind you. So, how's this going to go? Who knows? I'm excited about it, though. It's a very different, a very unique concept. Extremely unique. It's not something that's very common by any means. The reason I brought these up is because it has to do with food. And those of you who know me, you know I love some good fair food. And of course, diners. And it's hard to tell what they're going to do with the one in North Scone and Midland Mall. If they're going to put some old fashioned stuff on the walls, maybe, or something, because sometimes you'll go to some of these diners and they'll have like old fashioned stuff on the walls. Like one diner I've been to several times near my mom's, they have car memorabilia. At another one that I've been to in Toledo, they have possibly the oldest working rotary dial phone in the state of Ohio. And different ones, different things. But mind you, as I just said a minute ago, this place in Saginaw, this circus time is actually going in the food court. So that, like I said, is going to be different. And obviously, I wish them both good luck on their endeavors. And we'll just have to see. But so that is some good stuff. I do want to remind you listeners to keep doing your three homework assignments, ongoing homework assignments, I should say, ongoing, because these don't necessarily have a deadline when they're due by any means. All three of these are things you should be doing every day in this time right now, in no particular order of importance. Number one, read Psalm 23 every day out loud so your family can hear it. Number two, read Psalm 91 every day out loud. Number three, every day at high noon, look up to heaven, curse that virus, curse this virus, and bless the Lord. Because I feel like if we're going to curse something, at the same time we should be blessing the Lord. I fully believe that. And what we're dealing with is, yes, the virus. You know, we want it to die. Also, we're dealing with Koron. Koron is the name that I've given to the demon behind all this fear. And all this overreaction. I mean, Koron is behind a lot of the fear and stuff. Stupid is the name I've given to the spirit that has caused a lot of overreaction by many mayors and governors and health officials from around the United States and other countries. And so we're cursing the virus and we're binding Koron and stupid, because we have to stop stupid. We have to. And my Aunt Shelley, who listens to the show, she told me that someone that she knew that used to not necessarily agree, she now even has a stop stupid sign. And now I want to know where she has it from, where she got it from, so that I have one. And so, well, like I said, we have to deal with and address not only the virus, but these spirits. And of course, I pray this all the time on this show, that God just takes the wheels off of Pharaoh's chariot, so that whatever the enemy has planned comes to naught. And especially the last several weeks, the last month or so, more. I continue to pray that as the enemy continues to try to attack. And we're going to win. And I believe we're going to see revival come to America and to the rest of the world. We're going to see that one last great outpouring before the rapture. And so in short, the three homework assignments: Psalm 91 out loud daily, Psalm 23 out loud daily, and also curse the virus and the spirits behind it and bless the Lord. Those are your three homework assignments that you should be doing, we should be doing. I have to say we too, because I don't want to exempt myself by any means, because I do this too. I know one day my mom was somewhere, her phone goes off, people are looking like, what's that thing? What? And then she shuts this thing off, and what it is her alarm. I remember another time I was in one of the big time superstores, one of those Walmart Meijer things, and and then they're picking up a few things. The alarm goes off. Only there are my phones in my pocket, so it's not like everyone can hear it. And so, just saying, but just remember, Bailey, just got to keep doing what we know to do. Keep the faith up. And just believe that we're going to win. And got to keep the faith up. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. That we are going to win. We're going to win. Every plan of the enemy at this point is going, the enemy is going to fail. The enemy is going to fail. I just know in my spirit, the enemy will not win. Amen. Now, before we sing, I had it in my mind to just pray over our police and our military. Those that put their harms, their lives in harm's way every day. Lord Jesus, I take a moment right now. First, Lord, I pray for those in blue, for our city police, our state police, even our college police, airport police, those that work in the field of keeping these cities and states and universities and such safe. I thank you, Lord God, that you bless them for what they do. I thank you that your hand is upon them as they go about protecting us. I just thank you. I pray, Lord God, that all these attacks against the police would stop right now. That as America, we get our respect back for law enforcement. Thank you that our police will not be defunded, but they'll have everything they need to do the job the way you would want it done. And I thank you that those leaders, governors, mayors, would listen and give them what they need according to you, Lord God. And now, Lord God, I lift up those in green, our Marines, our National Guard, and all these others that fight for us so that we may remain free. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we don't have wars. I mean, we have had riots, but we don't have all these wars going on in our streets. Instead, so many of our wars have been fought on foreign soil. But I thank you, Lord Jesus, that your hand is on our military. That our military, the Marines, and the Air Force, and all the other forces have everything that they need, that they stand up for America. That's who they are. They're Americans, just like us. And I just give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' matchless name. Amen and amen and amen and amen. All right. Now I'm going to sing you. I'm going to sing a couple of songs. And I want to encourage you for the rest of the night. I sing, you sing. I pray, you pray. When we open the Bible, open it. It's whatever I do, where I'm at, you do, wherever you're at, whatever you're doing. Praise God. And like I said, now we're going to sing unto the Lord. And so, enter in. Now, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, his mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, he will my fear and portion be. From when we first begun, my chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, his mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. My God, my Savior, my chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, his mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbade to shine. But God is here and will. He shall be forever mine. He'll be forever mine. You are forever mine. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, his mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. My chains are
My God, my Savior, has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Jesus is amazing grace. Yes, He is. Oh, how we love You tonight, Lord. There's none like You, Jesus. It's not by might. It's not by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. Against all hope, against all odds, I will trust in You. Sing it again. It's not by might, it's not by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. Against all hope, against all odds, I will trust in You. Though the lions roar, though the storms rage against me, I will not give up. I will not give in. No, it's not by might, it's not by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. Against all hope, against all odds, I will trust in You. Though the battle's hard, though my enemies rage against me, I will not give up. I will not give in. I will not give up. No, I will not give in. I will not give up. And I will not give in. No, it's not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. Against all hope, against all odds, I will trust in You. Though the lions roar, though the storms rage against me, I will not give up. I will not give in. I will not give up. I will not give in. I will not give up. I will not give in. No, it's not by might, it's not by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. Against all hope, against all odds, I will trust in You. I will trust in You. I will trust in You. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We come before you tonight. We worship you this evening, Lord God. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that your hand is on our life, that you are always there with us. You're always there for us. No matter what the storm, no matter what the battle, when the lions are roaring, when that enemy is raging against us, we don't give up, we don't give in. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, right now for these listeners tonight. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that whatever they need from you, may they receive it tonight. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you use me tonight as I deliver this word of God. And I give you, Holy Spirit, permission to just come and do anything that you want to do. And I give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory for that in Jesus' name. And I make my confession over this program. I confess, Lord Jesus, that money comes into this program. Finances come in. I thank you that sponsors and partners come into this program. I thank you that increases in listenership come into this program. And most of all, Lord Jesus, I thank you that for the huge amount of souls coming into the kingdom of God as a result of this great radio program. In Jesus' matchless name, amen, amen, and amen. All right, turn with me if you would, please. To the book of Mark, chapter 16. Amen. Mark 16. And as I said, we're going to be dealing with the Great Commission. And I just can't help but think about the goodness of the Lord. We're going to begin from verse 1. Just I'm pausing right now because I'm just giving you a quick minute to find it. Praise God. Verse 1. And if it comes off different from how you're reading it, by any means, like some words are a little bit different, it's because I'm using the NIV. Just so you know. Mark 16, verse 1. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, They saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb, and they said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Not half long. Verse 9. When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven 7 demons. She went and told those who had been with him and who were mourning and wailing. When they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. They doubted. Verse 12. Afterward, Jesus appeared in a different form to 2 of them while they were walking in the country. They returned and they reported it to the rest. But they didn't believe them either. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. And he rebuked them for their lack of faith. There that thing goes again. Lack of faith from the disciples. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Stay home then. Don't you know there's a virus?" Let's try that again. He said to them, "Go and stock up on hand sanitizer, toilet paper, and disinfectant wipes." I'm sorry. We get it right. 15 again. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news. Preach the good news unto all creation." Different versions say every creature. I like to say every human. Every human. To preach the good news to all people. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. And those signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, meaning in the name of Jesus, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people. Hold on. Well, there's a pandemic. I don't think you're supposed to be doing that. Well, when they will lay their hands on the sick people and they will recover. They will be healed. In other words, after the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere. And the Lord worked with them. And he confirmed the word, his word, by the signs that accompanied it. Let's talk about after Jesus was. So we're going to talk about the part after he is risen. So after Jesus is risen, a little while after, he appears to people. The first time he appears, they don't believe it. So he appears in a different form. Those people don't believe it either. Then Jesus appears to the 11 when they're in the, when they're eating some din-din. They're having dinner. Doesn't say what it was. Maybe it was meatloaf and mashed potatoes. I don't know. But they're in there eating. Jesus appeared to them. But guess what? As in other places, he rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe. Stubborn refusal to believe. Including, of course, doubting Thomas. Well, he only missed one church service. One. And he didn't believe. One. He missed one service. And he didn't believe. Their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. He couldn't, because they didn't believe those people who said, I saw Jesus. They didn't believe those people. And then he tells all those people. And it's written there for us to see it. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Preach the good news. To every human. And it talks about if you believe and you're baptized, you will be saved. If you don't believe, you're condemned. And then Jesus says, in my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. Those who are led by the Spirit of God, that is, they're led by the Spirit of God, a verse comes to me right now, but in another verse in the Testament, it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they shall receive power. They shall receive the anointing. They. Signs and wonders will be done through them. They will speak in new tongues. They'll pick up snakes with their hands. And when they don't poison, when I hurt them at all, they will lay their hands on sick people. And they will get well. And then, like a verse, it says, and the disciples went and preached everywhere. And the Lord worked with them, and he confirmed his word, the word, by the signs that accompanied it, which means basically this. They preached, then the word was confirmed. I imagine they had maybe Peter had a healing crusade, something like that, where people come and they have all these different ailments. Viruses, bacterial, and other incurable diseases. And their hands are laid upon them, not from 6 feet apart, and they're healed. And for those of you who might say, this thing that we're dealing with right now, the virus and on that, it's not an attack on the church. It is an attack on the church. Jesus said they will lay their hands on sick people and they will get well. I can't find any sickness and disease that exempts. There are none. So to say that whole thing is not an attack on the church, that's just a bunch of no good bologna sandwiches. But it's garbage. That's what it is. Now, you say, as Christians, some of you may be sitting there wondering, well, I'm not part of the fivefold. I don't have an aircraft. What do you mean, go preach? And some of you might be sitting there thinking, I don't have a pulpit in the church. You preach by your witness. You could have a sign in front of your house that has a verse in front of it. You could have a sign at your house. Might say something like, those who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You could put that sign out there. People may see that. They may realize that. They may see that, and they may say, went to church when I was little, but then later on I quit going. And I just saw that sign. And I was going through a bunch of stuff, and I saw that sign, and I knew I needed help. And when I saw that sign that said, those who call on the name of the Lord, and then, but you preach via your witness. It's not always someone in a pulpit. and everybody's ministry, everybody's called to something different. We all are workers together with the Lord. And even like when my pastor from my church, Dr. Buckley, or when one of the other ministers preach, when Dr. Buckley's not there, my church, there's an online stream. And people may tune in to it, looking for hope. And then they give their life to Christ for the first time. And the Great Commission is for us to preach the gospel. Maybe you're not a preacher. Maybe your position is that maybe you're just out and about, you see people that are ill, and then you ask them if you can pray for them. I've been in multiple different places that were not the church. Where I've had that happen to me. A couple different times at one of the large malls down in Detroit. Another mall somewhere else. Few other places. And someone would say, "Sir, can I pray for you? What's your name?" You know, and they'd ask me, and then they'd just pray. And other times they'd lay their hands up. Other times, not. Maybe that's your position. There's different ways that God may call you to minister. Maybe it's through song. Maybe it's, and we need some good psalmists. A lot of so-called Christian music singers, they're not exactly clean, but they may write some good songs, maybe, but ultimately we need some pure ones that minister in song. And we need more of those. And there's different ways, you know, that you may preach that word. Maybe you write books, but we're all supposed to have a ministry. And whatever that ministry is, it should preach the good news. And the good news is the good news of the Lord Jesus. The news that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. With his stripes you could be healed. Not, "You're going to die." But as I was saying, some of you, maybe God did call you to be a missionary. Maybe to go on the road to a bunch of different places. Maybe God called you to a different country to live in for a while. And minister and do whatever call God called you to do. Like someone who was originally out of my church that I was talking to you about earlier, where her and her husband they live in Honduras and they minister that school in Honduras. And the way they help those kids and the way that they look up to that couple. And her husband, he does dental work. And she does some things. I'm not gonna tell you everything, because at some point I want to have her come on. If not this week, or tomorrow Wednesday, maybe another time very soon, because I want you listeners to hear what she does and to hear from a heart of a missionary. And speaking of missionaries, oh, by the way, this pastor that I've been following a lot, the pastor that maybe you guys didn't know, maybe you did know, the one who got arrested 4 months ago because he stood up and didn't shut down his church, he was a missionary to America, originally from South Africa. God called him to this country. And people think, yeah, America doesn't need any missionaries. He was called by God to be one. He got the fire of God at a young age. When he was young, he used to preach to his teddy bears and get them saved. And they used to baptize him. With his mom, they used to do a baptismal service. And he'd preach to the bears. I'm not laughing like I'm joking. No, this actually happened. I just chuckle the thought of it. But he preached to those bears. And then God called him to come to the United States. And he came with not that much money to his name. But the quote-unquote mission field doesn't always mean a different country. Some of you, maybe you live in a metropolitan area. And maybe even in the city itself or one of the inner suburbs. And maybe you live not too far from parts of that inner city. Some of the roughest parts of that inner city. And maybe that's what God called you to do. You have to find out what God wants you to do and do it. And maybe it doesn't always have to be to preach. Maybe it's just to help those. Maybe it's a good godly group ministering in the inner city, maybe cleaning up the neighborhood, maybe just Make sure you have the mind of Christ and you do what God calls you to do. And like I said, I'm going to talk to my mom and Natalia, because like I said, very soon, I want to have her talk to my listeners, talk to you, my listeners, about what she does there, what it's like to kind of give you folks an idea. Because because the truth of the matter is we've all been assigned to do something for God. And that thing preaches. Like right now, my assignment is doing what I'm doing with you guys right now. And I always make sure that I'm doing what God wants me to do. Because the truth of the matter is, you've all been given a gift from God. You've all been given a commission. And the great commission that everyone was given is go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every man, to every human. And signs and wonders will be done in the name of the Lord. Not by some other means, because in other countries, things will happen. Healings will happen and what have you. But it won't be by the Lord. It'll be by witch doctors. And it's not supposed to be that way. In one country, just a couple months ago, the churches were shut down. But their quote-unquote traditional healers, the witch doctors, they were allowed to keep doing their thing. Something's wrong with that picture. And that is a big part of why every day we have to take authority and curse the virus and take authority over the plan of the enemy, that everything that the enemy has planned comes to naught. And we just have to take authority over that thing. Because the enemy wants the gospel shut down. And that's why we have to just take authority. And also, we have to do what the Bible says according to this Great Commission. And maybe things aren't going very well for you. And I'm not talking about, I'm not even talking about the lockdown or any of that. I'm talking about maybe in the last couple months or years or whatever, you haven't been happy. Could it be that maybe you're not doing what God called her to do. And sometimes it might be, maybe you feel like you should go somewhere or whatever. Maybe, could it be maybe that you're not doing that thing that God called you to do? Is it because God's nudging you about something and you're not doing it? Because ultimately, whichever way you decide to fulfill this great commission, you have to make sure that you're doing it the way God wants you to do it. And don't just get on board with something just because you think it's Christian. No, make sure you're prayed up. And that it's exactly what God wants for you. Now, I mean, in my city, I mean, here in this city, you know, we've done, even just this summer, we had that big flood, and then we had that flood in May, and then in June we had the flea market. And all those people came and got good stuff. And I just think about how many people got saved, gave their lives to Jesus Christ. Even when they were taking food to into some of those neighborhoods where the houses were really roughed up by the flood. And I just think about that and I go, thank you, Jesus. And the Great Commission applies to, and you can easily ask someone if they know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. And win souls. Because God called us to win souls. Which is what we're supposed to be doing. Because guess what? You can only take people with you to heaven. Your mosque, M-A-U-S-K. I'm not going to say it the other way. Fine, I will. Mask. Just doesn't sound the same as mosque. Your mosque will not go with you to heaven. I'm actually glad about that. That the mask won't be going there. The only thing you can take with you to heaven is people. That's it. So make sure you take someone with you. Just imagine your local church, for example, as you go to church. Just imagine if everyone that went to your church in 1 year all won one soul, brought them to church, and they all got connected. Just imagine. Within 12 months, you will have doubled the size of your church. Think about that. Just imagine. Double the size of that church. Imagine how much that would bless your pastor. assuming, and of course that's the will of God, imagining. And some of these pastors might not like having to go to two services. Maybe that might be what would have to happen. But the will of God, and God's doing great things. Yeah. But Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord Jesus, for this word tonight. With this great commission that we've all been called. We have all been called to reach the lost. We've all been called to preach the gospel in whichever way, shape, or form that we bring the gospel. Whether it's through shining our light, whether it's through ministering when a certain event happens, or whatever it is. And I thank you, Lord God, that we would do everything involving the Great Commission as you call us to do it. That we would go as far as what you call us to do. And that we would be in your will. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, that we are doers of this word and not hearers only. And I give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory for that. In Jesus' matchless name. Amen and amen and amen. All right. For sports, the next four Tigers games have been canceled, unfortunately, due to St. Louis Cardinals having 13 players test positive for coronavirus. Anyhow, the next four Tigers games have been postponed. So that means Detroit Tigers will not be playing baseball next 4 days. NBA, the season continues. But the Pistons are not in the 22-game play-in because they had the worst, just about the worst record in the NBA this season. To that point in March. In college football, then announced that there is a chance that the game between Michigan and that team from the South might actually be played in September, possibly near the end of September rather than the usual end of November, near the end of November, so a couple days after Thanksgiving. Now, I hope, honestly, that it is still at the end of November. Why? So that it means the same as it always does. Especially hoping that Michigan is doing very good. That team to the South is doing very good. But I think it is has a lot more meaning if you play your biggest rival right at the end. Because it makes you have to play with your heart when you play. Whereas if you play your biggest rival earlier on in the season, it doesn't have that same meaning. I wish that the NBA, I wish that the NFL even would do that thing. So would make it so that example. Maybe it could be that the Cowboys, whoever their biggest rival is. That from here on out, their very last game would be one of the games versus the Washington football team or whoever their biggest rival is. Maybe Lions, with the Lions, it could be the Bears. And or the Packers. And that last game could always be against one of them, especially if they're both neck and neck in the race for that. Praise God. Until next time, God first, God always. So long, everybody.